ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, chapter 12, text 2. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Maya Veshamano Yemang Nitya Yukta Upasate, Shraddhaya Parayope Tas Te Me Yukta Tama Mataha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. Purport. In answer to Arjuna's question, Krishna clearly says that he who concentrates upon his personal form and who worships him with faith and devotion is to be considered most perfect in yoga. For one, in such Krishna consciousness, there are no material activities because everything is done for Krishna. A pure devotee is constantly engaged. Sometimes he chants. Sometimes he hears or reads book about Krishna. Or sometimes he cooks prasadam. Or goes to the marketplace to purchase something for Krishna. Or sometimes he washes the temple or the dishes. Whatever he does, he does not let a single moment pass without devoting his activities to Krishna. Such action is in full samadhi. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Maya Vesha Mano Ye Mang Nitya Yukta Upasate, Shraddhaya Pariyopetas Te Me Yukta Tama Mataha. This statement by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is in response to the question that Arjuna just put to him. Arjuna Uvacha, Evang Satita Yukta Ye Bhaktas Twang Pariupasate Ye Chapyaksharam Avyaktam Te Shang Ke Yoga Vitamaha. Arjuna inquired, which are considered to be more perfect, those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested? So Krishna gives a very clear reply. He doesn't say, well, depends on your point of view. There are many shades of gray. He doesn't say like that. He makes it very clear right from there. He does afterwards say that that those who are on the impersonal path, yeah, they can also, after a lot of difficulty, they can come to some perfectional stage, but he makes it very clear that the devotee is better than the non-devotee transcendentalist. And we may wonder, well, what do you do? What happens when you become a pure devotee? You start levitating, or then sparks come out of your head, or, well, what's the sign of a fully realized person in Krishna consciousness? Srila Prabhupada often used to say that being liberated doesn't mean that you get 4 arms, or 10 arms and 10 heads or something. People think something extraordinary. It is extraordinary, but it's an extraordinary purification of consciousness. The activities that a pure devotee may perform are, for instance, as Srila Prabhupada writes here, sometimes he chants, sometimes he hears or reads books about Krishna. Okay, that sounds very devotional, chanting and hearing about Krishna. Sometimes he cooks. Okay, well, everyone cooks. He cooks prasadam. Sometimes he goes to the marketplace to purchase something for Krishna. That doesn't sound very spiritual. You go to the marketplace. When you become perfect in Krishna consciousness, what do? Yeah, you go to the marketplace. Oh, really? But does that mean that everyone in the marketplace is fully spiritually realized? No, the point is he's going to the marketplace to purchase something for Krishna. Sometimes he washes the temple or the dishes. What is this, cleaning the floor? I want to be spiritual. But Srila Prabhupada here clarifying what Krishna says, clarifying it for us, because how could we possibly understand it without Srila Prabhupada's explanation? You can wash the floor. You can wash the floor and be a better yogi than the one someone sitting meditating with long matted hair. He hasn't eaten anything for the last 20 years. He is living on air alone, and someone cleans the floor for Krishna. He's better situated in yoga. Srila Prabhupada, it's Krishna's message, and Srila Prabhupada is presenting it. He's pointing us to the highest reality, the spiritual world, beyond this world. But on the other hand, it's very practical, and you could say down to earth. Because right here we can serve Krishna. But the point is the consciousness. It's not, there are so many people. How many people are cleaning floors and going to the market and washing the pots? They don't become purified by doing so. But one who does so in full consciousness of Krishna is a pure devotee. It's a matter of the attitude. Srila Prabhupada always emphasized this, and it's the very basis of what he came to teach. Well, the philosophical basis, you can say, is the understanding that we're not the body, we're separate from the body, we're eternal spirit soul, we're eternal servants of Krishna. But what is this devotion which Krishna says here? He clearly distinguishes us better than non-devotional transcendental activities. It's the attitude. That attitude, anyabhilashita shunyam jnana kamadhyan avritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhaktirutama. The attitude of a devotee. Even he may not be a fully pure devotee, but he's trying, like he's constantly engaged, going to the marketplace. He might space out a bit as he goes to the marketplace and think of other things but Krishna, but he's doing it for the sake of Krishna, and he's trying to become purified to the point where he's always thinking of Krishna. So this attitude that let me do everything for Krishna, let me become fully pure, always thinking of Krishna, without any personal or other desire, that is the attitude which allows us entrance into the realm of pure devotion. And as one goes on practicing in this way, one becomes fully purified. Of course, it is possible to practice Krishna consciousness with other motives than anyabhilasha. Other desires, for instance, jnana or karma, to be liberated or to enjoy this world by the grace of Krishna. But pure devotion, which is the only actual beneficial activity for every living being, means without any other desires than to serve and please Krishna. So this message we find throughout the Bhagavad Gita. We find it because we're reading Bhagavad Gita as it is, and we've heard from Srila Prabhupada. But amazingly, there are so many people who read the Bhagavad Gita and they don't find anyabhilashita shunya bhakti. They don't see it. They'll find, but you can't avoid bhakti if you read the Bhagavad Gita. The very word is used again and again, but they won't get the understanding that Krishna is actually giving, and Srila Prabhupada gave, and that's why he called it Bhagavad Gita as it is. They won't find that message because they think, well, bhakti, well, it's one of the paths. This karma, jnana, yoga, it's one of the paths, and they may being envious of Krishna. Although Krishna very clearly establishes himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they want to downplay or minimize Krishna, and therefore they say that Krishna says that, but it's just for the understanding. But actually, Krishna is just a manifestation of the impersonal beyond. And although there's no such idea anywhere in Bhagavad Gita or anywhere else in all of the Vedic literature of any such concept, but somehow or other people latch onto this unless they hear from pure devotee. And for us, it's very easy to find Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, because Krishna, his pure representative, Srila Prabhupada, has presented it like that. And Krishna himself presents it like that. It's not that Prabhupada has superimposed some meaning on it. But he helps us to find. Otherwise, if we try to understand Bhagavad Gita without the help of a pure devotee, then by our own material misconceptions and anya abhilash, by our other desires, we won't want to find Krishna. And therefore we'll not find Krishna and find another message. So as I often mention, following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, who gave this Anyabhilashita Shunyam verse, and all the acharyas and Srila Prabhupada, we should preach about Anyabhilashita Shunya Bhakti, pure devotional service, uncompromised by any other desire. The only desire should be to serve Krishna favorably, anukulyena Krishna anushilanam. Recently I was asked, well, how can we preach that to the public? It's such a high concept, they're not ready for that. If we go to the public and tell them, well, you have to surrender to Krishna and giving up all other desires. Well, Krishna himself didn't say that to Arjuna until the very end of Bhagavad Gita. And if you say that to the public, they won't have a clue what you're talking about. So it might seem not very practical to preach that. Well, that is a point. The best preaching is distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, which describe all these things systematically and in detail. But the point is that we shouldn't present Krishna consciousness as being something that caters to our anya abhilash, our material desires. Just like sometimes here in India, it's becoming more and more popular at our ISKCON centers to hold youth festivals and to call some devotees rock and roll band. I don't know how that works. Devotees rock and roll band. When I think of devotees, I don't think of rock and roll. And when I think of rock and roll, I don't think of devotees. It's a strange mixture, you can say. Rock and roll is coming out of the demoniac lower species, practically, the rakshasas and devotees who are completely pure. They may call some rock and roll group and have some rock and roll, and I can just imagine this thing with all heavy music, Hare Krishna or something. I don't know how they can do it, but and then the boys and the girls would all be dancing together, because rock and roll is meant for sense enjoyment, great gross sense enjoyment, and everyone likes it. And then afterwards, if you stand up and say, actually, we're supposed to surrender to Krishna, how's it going to work? It's just something that appeals to the senses. Now, Krishna consciousness does appeal to the senses, and we can present it to a large extent in that way, in as much as we hold festivals like Rath Yatra, and people come and join, it's fun, and you get nice healthy vegetarian food at the end. Of course, not really vegetarian, it's a lot more than being vegetarian. But it's something that, it's fun and people like it. But we have to be careful also not to present Krishna consciousness as just something just like people take their children to the park on a Sunday and then we have a festival and people think it's nice and that's all. The message has to be put across that Krishna consciousness is a very serious matter. I've discussed this at length in my book on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service, which is really an analysis of how Srila Prabhupada preached. He gave Krishna consciousness as enjoyable, which it is, but not on the platform of mundane sense enjoyment. He differentiated it from that by speaking the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, beginning with, we are not the body. Human life is meant for God realization. He would speak this message unfailingly, repeatedly, again and again and again and again. So we while presenting Krishna consciousness as something appealing and enjoyable, we should at the same time make sure that people get the idea of the seriousness, the urgency, the necessity of Krishna consciousness. Another example I'll give from our ISKCON in India here is that it seems that many of our centers in India, they celebrate Janmashtami, which is the biggest festival in our temples. The Rath Yatras are often bigger outside the temple. Many members of the public come, but they don't have a lecture. They'll have some fancy dress competition, almost inevitably, maybe a drama, and they'll go on with the whole evening, but without any lecture. So people should hear the message of Krishna also. In other words, it's presented as something light, rather light. we should be very careful when you say we should preach Anyabhilashita Shunya Bhakti. That means we should read Srila Prabhupada's books and speak according to that style. Let people know. At least, although distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books is the best preaching, but we're supposed to speak also and verbalize what we've learned from those books. And there are so many important points there of how modern civilization is a total disaster. It's not very difficult to convince people about that, especially in the Western world. And Krishna consciousness is the solution because the disaster is... what's the cause of the disaster? Is it Donald Trump? No, he's not the ultimate cause. You can say, it must be the Muslims, they're the cause. Well, you can go on and see this is the cause, but that is the ultimate cause is forgetfulness of Krishna and our eternal relationship with him, a misconstrued understanding of reality. We shouldn't present Krishna consciousness in a watered down way. We shouldn't be afraid to present Krishna, the message of Krishna. These are the teachings. If we always say that, well, you can do some yoga and meditation and feel the spirit within you and talk in a vague way, then how will people find Krishna? We have to make the point clear. If we listen to Srila Prabhupada's recorded conversations with complete outsiders who have no prior knowledge of Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada speaks to them very directly the message of Bhagavad Gita. Even in the later years, he would directly speak to them about Varnashram Dharma, how society needs to be organized in this way for the purpose of establishing sanity in human society. So that's one point. We shouldn't water it down and say, well, Krishna consciousness is fun, and well, people saying, oh, okay, that's fun. Well, drinking alcohol is fun also, taking drugs is fun, having sex is fun. And what's the distinction and differentiation? Another thing, we must certainly to our own devotees present anyabhilashita shunya bhakti. When people are coming to Krishna consciousness, we should teach them to live and act and think in a manner that is conducive for pure devotion. And not mix up pure devotion with material desires. For instance, it's very common nowadays in our Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, or what's supposed to be Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, to preach that, well, yes, you get a good job, you get lots of money, succeed in your studies, and you be a devotee also. But what's that got to do with devotion? It's not that becoming successful, so-called successful, materially, has got anything to do with Krishna consciousness. And in fact, it may be a great bar to our Krishna consciousness, to this ambition to become a material success. So we may say, well, the idea is to become a success so that other people will also be attracted. But really, it's a scam, because by encouraging people in their material desires, you're actually inhibiting their development of purely devotional desires, and wrongly conflating Krishna consciousness with material so-called advancement. Rather, we should have preached, what do you mean so-called? What is this material success? It's meaningless and useless. We have to present Krishna consciousness, pure devotion. Otherwise, people will get something else. The nature of the conditioned soul is, if you don't make it very clear, then they'll misunderstand. If, for instance, if you say that, yes, we're all spiritual beings, but you don't clarify that we're all servants of the Supreme Spiritual Being, then they'll think, oh, yeah, I heard that from Swami Bogus Number One or whatever. That, oh, yeah, all the Swamis say, yeah, we're all spiritual beings, yeah, we're all one, we're all God. And unless you clarify that we're all spiritual beings, that's right, but we're not God, and we're all spiritual beings, but that doesn't mean the body is spirit, as is a common misunderstanding. Differentiate between the body and the soul. It's much easier to not do this. It makes it more accessible. But what are we making accessible? If we don't preach anyabhilashita shunya bhakti, then people may take to it more easily. But what are they taking to? It won't actually benefit them. And why should they come to us in particular? Because there's so many bogus gurus and swamis and yogis out there who are all preaching this watered-down so-called spirituality. So we shouldn't do that. Otherwise, we'll be cheating people. Hare Krishna. Anything? Question? Comment? Devil's advocate? Nope.
Sometimes people argue that this material success and earning a lot of money can be utilized in Krishna's
service. Yeah, sometimes people argue that becoming a material success and earning lots of money can be utilized in Krishna's service. That's true. if someone has a lot of money and material success, then Srila Prabhupada would encourage them to use that in Krishna service. And a great example is George Harrison. Srila Prabhupada, he specifically asked, should I move into the temple? And Prabhupada said, no. You go, in your present situation, you can do more for serving the mission of Krishna consciousness than if you move into a temple. There are millions of people in the world, non-devotees, who are thinking, let me work hard and become a big success. But most of them, they end up in some pigeonhole apartment building, and, well, they think that's a success. There's nothing special to show. And so in the same way, devotees may dream, oh yeah, I'll become very big and get lots of money, but they're dreaming in 99.9% of the cases. Another common thing is the very saying, oh, we'll become rock stars, and then we'll become famous, and then people will follow us. It's like the story Srila Prabhupada told of the potter. He's a poverty-stricken potter, young man, unmarried. He couldn't marry, he didn't have any money. No one wanted to marry him, so he was thinking, well, I'll make more pots and I'll sell them and I'll build up my business and I'll get rich and then I'll marry a beautiful woman. And then he's lying down dreaming about this. And then he thinks, and then if she doesn't follow what I say, I'll give her a good kick. And then he in his reverie, he made a kicking motion, and he's just staying in a small place with all the pots, so he kicked a pot and all the pots were stacked on, they all fell down and collapsed. So he, not only did he not build up his business, he's just dreaming about it, but he actually went backwards. He actually caught. So it is possible to dovetail success, so-called material success, in Krishna's service. But the thing which is really going to attract people to Krishna consciousness is what? Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is itself attractive. Purity is the force, as the saying goes. Srila Prabhupada, he came to the West. What did he have? He didn't come in with a big delegation saying this is a big Swami with millions of disciples, he's got lots of money, he's a great scholar. From the external point of view, the only thing that was interesting about him, that he was different. That's all. And that appealed to some, that gave some external attraction to some hippies who always wanted to do something different. Otherwise, the only thing he had to offer was Krishna consciousness. If he'd have gone to people and said, well, actually, I was a college graduate, but I forswore my degree because I was part of Gandhi's movement, and I know so many verses from the Shastra, and what would people care? But he presented Krishna purely, and Krishna reciprocated. So even if you do attract many people by material things, that may also be an obstacle. Because then the people are all thinking, well, that we have to become materialistic. We have, unless you have a college degree, then you're not really on a proper devotee. You see, all these people, I know this attitude is there, it's quite widespread in India, that, oh, these people, they don't have degrees. They're just coming here because they couldn't do anything else, they couldn't get a job, and like that. It's a very offensive attitude, actually. It may be true in some cases, but then you find sometimes people with college degrees, they very intelligently cheat and they steal lots of money. So, there are quite a few cases of that. So we're not against people. We're not having a so-called successful life and this and that. And But it's not by any means synonymous with Krishna consciousness. In fact, it's quite often the opposite, because people get involved in working hard to be... You don't become a success just by dreaming about it as some new-agey so-called gurus tend to want to make us think. You become... hard. You have to work hard. And it's not that everyone who works hard becomes a big success, so-called success. But no one becomes a success without working hard. So, working hard and your mind is fully absorbed in that, then where's the thought of Krishna? As Jai Damodar Prabhu told me just a few days ago, when we were discussing, he'd moved to the farm. There were that devotional farm affords the opportunity for everyone to be in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. And I asked him then, so how do you feel your life previously compared to now? He said, well, when I was at work previously, it was like I was a different person. I never thought of anything devotional. I had to be absorbed in my work. That's what, when you're at work, they're not paying you to be a pure devotee or chant Hare Krishna. They're paying you to put your mind into what you're doing and work hard for the benefit of the company. And then how are you going to think of Krishna? If you're a very advanced devotee, it's possible to do so, but then most devotees are not. Most devotees are not very pure devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to go to the law court, and Srila Prabhupada used to sell medicine. Srila Prabhupada said that there was never a time in my life when I forgot Krishna. But we're not like that. Even when we're supposed to be fully in Krishna consciousness, we tend to think of other things also. So that's why it's important to emphasize always that we're here to become pure devotees of Krishna. And we shouldn't be so much concerned with getting more and more people coming if they have this wrong idea. We are in the danger of presenting something which isn't really bhakti, or not the bhakti that Rupa Goswami and all the acharyas come to give us. Then we're in the position of Shruti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatra Vidhing Vina Aikantaki Hare Bhakti Utpata Yaiva Kalpate. Devotional service, which does not strictly follow all the Vedic literatures, is simply a disturbance in society. I used to quote this again and again and again when I was in Bangladesh, because there the most prominent manifestation of Hinduism is chanting Hare Krishna with mridangas and kartels and worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha Krishna. But especially at that time, before ISKCON's influence had become prominent, it was all mixed up with all kinds of material desires and misunderstandings. So I used to quote this verse a lot. Yeah, you're doing bhakti, but what kind of bhakti? You have to understand what to do, how to act, according to guru, sadhu, and shastra. So these points we emphasize again and again and again. If we don't, then people are definitely going to get a wrong idea. So, anything more? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.